All right. Hello, hello. John S. Rhodes here, and I'm here with Mark Soberman, and we are now in part two. This is the second of two interview sessions that we had together, and we're going to dive right back into the content where we left off, which was subject lines. So, Mark, let's talk a bit for the readers who are, or for the listeners who are following along, what is the scoop with subject lines? Should they be long? Should they be short? Do you use all caps? Do you use sentencile structure? Do you use emojis? What are you doing these days that seems to be working better than anything else?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. I mean, definitely open rates is fairly critical to the performance of your email, because if we can't get somebody to open the email, no matter how good the copy is inside, we're never going to get the action that we're looking for. So my answer, in short, would be yes, pretty much to everything that you said. The key is variation. The mistake that some people make is a certain structure of a subject line is successful, and then they tend to go back to that over and over again. For instance, using emojis, it may work because it's a good pattern interrupt. So the first time you use it, it's highly effective, but it isn't something that you want to go back to repeatedly over and over. The same goes for the actual length of the subject line. I'm a believer in varying the length of the subject line. So sometimes it's quite short, it's quite punchy. Other times I'll actually use a fairly long subject line, one that I know somebody's not going to typically maybe see the entire subject line, especially if they're on mobile, but in some platforms, in some cases, they'll see a lot more as they go through their email software. So I definitely like to vary it. I don't like to use the same tactic over and over. I mean, a few top-level tips that I'll give is definitely do not deceive what's inside. Sometimes there's the temptation that we can be a little manipulative and say something that we know is going to get somebody to open an email. I mean, you can certainly say there's $10,000 in cash inside this email, and I'm sure you'd have a very high open rate. And then once you're sitting there trying to actually educate them or pitch them something specific, people are going to be pretty upset. So, you know, you never want to do anything that's going to deceive them, but absolutely at the same time, you do want to entice them. So I just try to focus on big benefits for them. I'm just going to call out, like, you know, really what is going to be the big benefit inside when they open the email. And I don't mind being specific. I'm not going to give everything away, but I just want to sort of tease them enough to know that there's something that's worthwhile for them to go ahead and open the email. So call out the big benefit, use a lot of variation. The different tactics that you mentioned, I think, are all good. We use brackets a lot to break things up a little bit. In the email, I like deadlines. Deadlines are amazing. So if you're like, you know, there's 8 hours to go or 12 hours to go or today only, that does work. You think sometimes that you might be manipulating people, but it's just one of those things. It's just like when you're doing a product launch, a big part of the sales do tend to come in the last day, the last 24 hours, and that's all deadline driven. However, same strategy, right? Don't use that every time. So the second you do it and you have double the open rate, don't be tempted that every single email they're on, you're going to use the exact same tactic. So a couple little final tools that you might use. You'll get very good at subject line writing over time. In the beginning, it's maybe not so natural. There is one website that's a good place to start. It's subjectline.com. It's a nice place just to type in the subject you were thinking of. It'll analyze it real quickly, and it'll give you some advice and some tips, whether your subject line is too long, is too short, you don't have caps, you don't have a call to action. It's really nice in the beginning when you're new to this. If you want to get into something that's more on the paid side, there's a website, funnelscripts.com. This has an amazing, actually a set of headline and email subject generators. What these are great for is you'll get pretty much all the good combinations of subject lines. You can go ahead and print those out and just constantly sort of use that as your like swipe file, basically for when you need to come up with a good subject line. They're really, you know, good as far as they've worked in the past. They're benefit driven. So there is a little bit of a cost for that, but it's worthwhile once you're starting to really monetize your project. And if you want something that's kind of similar, but no cost, one thing that I do to this day is I will subscribe to my competition, in particular to companies that I know are much larger than me, and you know, even much more successful than me. They really know what they're doing, right? They're testing everything. And I'll just get all their emails. I mean, I don't want to read them all, to be honest with you. But what I'll do is I'll just archive them. So if I'm in Gmail, for instance, I can archive really easy. I can even set up a rule to archive those emails. And then when I need some ideas, all I do is I go into my Gmail, I search from the search bar, either the normal from email address or the name of the company, and then all in a row, I'll have like 100 or 200 emails with all of their subjects that they've been using, and I'll just get dozens, really, it's that simple, of ideas. I'm like, oh, this is great. I'll modify it a little bit to what I'm offering, and I've got a perfect subject that I know more than likely has been very effective because these companies have tested these so often. So that's a great way to do it for free. And I think it's like a swipe file, like you can do with a lot of different things, but it's one way to almost automate that process. So that would be my, you know, top level suggestions on subject lines.
Yeah, great stuff. And you can create a brand new email account. So you can, in the case of Gmail or using Google, you can create a brand new email account and then use that to subscribe to everything promotional so that your personal inbox or your business inbox does not get overloaded. So you can even, you know, tune things up even further. One of the things I think is interesting here, Mark, is that really what we're talking about with subject lines, quite often, whether it's deadlines or we're teasing or there's curiosity, whatever it might be, even brackets, you know, or emojis, is this idea of the pattern interrupt. And it's like all email and all email subject lines are about psychology. So how do you think about email psychology, not only in terms of the subject line, but in terms of the body of the emails? What is your take on email psychology to dive a little deeper there?
Well, I mean, I think it's important to always remember what is the objective of the email that you're writing, and you are trying to get somebody to take action. So you need to be writing that email, the subject line and the content, by putting yourself in their shoes. And it goes back to the beginning when we were talking a little bit about like the pain points. You need to be thinking about that. What is going to get somebody to, one, open an email, to be attracted to that subject line? Then when they get inside the email, you know, what are the buttons that you can push? And yes, there is some manipulation here. There is some psychology, right, at work, that we have to sort of provide something and a bit of a tease in a way to get somebody then to take action. Because I can't monetize at all just if they open my email and read it. I also have to get them to take some sort of action. Typically, right, clicking on a link in my email, maybe that is where I start to monetize, or maybe it's the page that I take them to. So I do think that's very important. There are some, you know, great books out there on this that go much, much deeper. And I think those can be very beneficial. But if you just really just take the moment to put yourself in the shoes of the people receiving your email, you were all there once, right? If you're the one providing a solution, you know what it's like to be on the other side. What kind of words or what type of solution or what type of phraseology would have mattered to you? If somebody had sent something to you when you were like in that situation, what would it have taken for you to respond? So that's the approach that typically that I would take. You know, pattern interrupt is one of, you know, a number of tactics that you can do. But, you know, when you think about it, somebody's getting 100 emails a day, what's going to make yours stand out above everybody else's? You know, there's a certain amount of blindness that goes on the internet, whether it comes to banners or emails. You're never going to get 100% open rates. You're doing great if you're getting, you know, especially with a larger list, 20, 25% is amazing. With a smaller list, it should be larger or better than that, but it's eventually going to go down to that number. When it starts getting smaller than that, you really need to start thinking, are you actually writing correctly, you know, to your audience? So that's kind of what I would say on that topic.
Yeah, great stuff. I want to remind everyone that the inbox is very personal. So when you're writing emails in general, it's not a good idea to write from the point of view of the business or to be all big and corporate or trying to push. It's much like what Mark had said in the previous part of the interview, in part one, where we talked about, hey, do you want to be, you know, big and glossy and shiny and so well designed, or do you want to be more personal? You want to be more personal and one-to-one because the inbox is personal. You're writing to an individual really on the other end. You're not sharing your inbox with, you know, 100 other people at once. So that really helps in terms of the mindset and the psychology. Mark, there's a couple more questions here and then we'll be wrapping up. But I got a question about the nature of the emails themselves and automation. So with an autoresponder, you're able to, you know, have a giveaway or a squeeze page, some way of getting people onto the list. So the autoresponder can do the work for someone, and you can have a sequence or a series of emails going out. And then we have broadcasts that are sent, you know, they're written and then they're sent outside of any sort of flow. How do you in your business, and in terms of the emails that are going out, how do you break things up? How do you think about, you know, the I guess you'd call it automation and the follow-ups and the sequences and series? What's your mindset? What's your approach on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something that has evolved over time. And I can tell you, even fairly recently, we were very much approaching it with this in mind, that we need to onboard our lead. So a lead comes in, we don't want to bombard them right away with something that we may be marketing or monetizing. So we actually would build in our autoresponders, let's call it about a 2-week sequence, where we're just going to sort of introduce people to us. We're going to tell them about us personally. We're going to go ahead and share some of our top articles on our blog, some of our top videos. We may even give them some additional giveaways that they may not be aware of, because over time, you're probably going to have multiple giveaways. And the reality is, people, they're not going to see everything. They're not going to be at every possible giveaway point or touch point that you have. So, you know, go ahead and write, it makes sense. Reward them with additional things that you have, because you never really know what's going to speak to somebody and what they may consume. Everybody's a little bit different. So that was our approach for quite some time. And it was effective, and it certainly was effective on the relationship building. But the mistake there is this, is that people are coming to you and they're giving you their email for something, right? They want that giveaway. That makes sense. We're delivering in an email. Like, I don't like to use a give it away right on the confirmation page, because I want somebody to give me a good email, right? I want to be able to send them to their email. They need to open that email in order to get that giveaway. So that's just a little tip there just to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to realize that at that point, they probably have this problem, this challenge, this obstacle. They're looking for a solution. It's kind of a wasted opportunity on my part if I don't fairly quickly at least introduce to them some type of solution that we have that we're selling or that we can monetize. So we have actually changed, and we're trying to mix the onboarding with the marketing right from day one. So I'm not, you know, shy at all about having a giveaway. And then as soon as they give that email, it goes right to a low dollar sale item. So maybe I'm giving something away for free. And then the confirmation page says, hey, no problem. Your freebie is on its way. It'll be there in, you know, 5 minutes. In the meantime, take a look at this video that I put together. And that may be just me pitching something very low cost, super high value. Maybe it's $17, $27. Of course, I'm not expecting for the majority of those people in that moment to go ahead and buy something, but I want to start to at least position that we have solutions, and that we have products, software, plugins, courses, guides, whatever the case may be, that can solve their problem. And actually, surprisingly, a decent percentage of the people, you know, it's not uncommon to have, you know, 5% of the people to go ahead and take your low dollar item. And then we'll move right along to an item that's a little higher priced. Maybe we move up to the $97 price point. Again, we're not expecting the bulk of the people to go ahead and take us up on that. But some people are looking and needing a solution right then. And if you do not give them something, they're going to go and find your competitors. And we all know we have dozens, if not hundreds, of competitors out there, you know, at the willing and at the ready to provide them something. So don't make the mistake I feel of feeling like, you know what, I haven't really built up the trust yet, the relationship. You're right. You do need to build that up. And for the majority of the people, the timing may not be right. And that's why you want to mix in that onboarding elements, like I mentioned, share with them, give them things, right? Provide a lot of great value. But don't be ashamed and don't be bashful at all about immediately offering something for sale. It could be that you ultimately record a webinar that's evergreen. You can invite them to that webinar right from the start. It could be that you've got some sort of course that you're selling. There's nothing wrong with providing them an element of that and then immediately letting them know that you have this course available. The thing that that also does, and I think I mentioned this earlier, is it warms people up for the next time that you really have a formal launch or formal offering of that product. They may resist the first time because it was just too soon. But the second time around, they're already warmed up to that offer. They've seen it before. And more than likely, the reality is they've tried some other things in the meantime that haven't worked, because the good news is most of our competition is not very good. If you guys focus on high value, you're going to probably beat most of the people out there, because a lot of people just churn out quantity and the quality isn't any good. So they're always looking for the next solution. In my niche in trading and investing, believe me, nobody buys one thing of anything. They buy 10, 20, 30 different things in order to find a few things that might work for them. So this is the reality, I think, across most, you know, niches out there, most industries. There's no shortage of people out there who are going to buy multiple different products and multiple different solutions. So that would be my advice, is just, you know, get to it fairly quickly. Don't delay too long, because I think you're going to go ahead and miss some people who are ready to buy now if you're just focusing on that onboard process.
Wow. I've got three or four notes. I'll hit them very quickly, because this is just pure gold. One thing is that people do get into what I like to call a buying frenzy. So when they jump into a market or a niche, whether it's a passion or a hobby or something money oriented or health oriented, it could be anything. When they start buying, they tend to keep buying. So if they're in that buying frenzy, you can sell more and more to them. Plus, you don't know when they're going to be in that buying frenzy. Sometimes they have to cross over really like a threshold, and then they start buying and buying more. So you might get them at the wrong time, but in the future, with the reminder, you're able to get them at the point in time that they're in that buying frenzy. So that was one of the first things that just came to mind. It's so powerful. When you have repetition, which is one of the best ways to market, repetition is your friend. I do it all the time, right? Myself, and Mark, you do as well. Repetition is so powerful. That is such a lesson right there, the buying frenzy. Take a note on that. Another thing is, I love the idea of making sure that people know that when they're coming on for free, that guess what? We're going to anchor you, yeah, to value that was provided for free. Sure, value is fine. Anchoring to value, that's great. However, also anchoring people to the fact, the reality that things are available. There are products and services available that cost money. So trade the hard-earned money for value, for an outcome, for results, but anchoring to paid. Well, that's the way we'll put it, anchoring to paid. And then the last thing I have here, Mark, you just laid this out so well. You go from free to low ticket to a higher ticket and on up, and they'll keep buying, and you actually sort of kickstart. You could be the cause, the actual, you know, the kindling, the fire starter of the buying frenzy, where you've brought them in at exactly the right time for them to begin. And now you have an ascension model, a ladder that moves them from nothing to something to more and more and more until they're, you know, thousands of dollars up in the buying frenzy. So I took those notes. That's such a great reminder of how to do two things here, how to think about the indoctrination of people coming onto your list, and then exactly how to treat them free versus paid, and touching on them at exactly the right point. So hopefully that's a fair summary and recharacterization really of the excellent way that you put that together. Just great stuff, really great stuff. Perfect. There. So a couple last final questions here, really. For those folks who are just getting started, or maybe they are transitioning into you know, sort of maybe a new part of their life or a different type of business, what are the very first steps? If you were going to lay this out for someone, like a consultant, for example, you were the consultant and you were going to try to help someone understand what they had to do first, the very first steps, what would you advise someone to do if they were just getting going, just getting started, and especially just firing up, just sort of getting their teeth and their claws sunk into email list building? What are those first few steps that you would recommend over everything else?
Sure. Without question, you have to identify some solution that you think you can provide based upon experience that you have. It doesn't have to be professional. It could be a hobby. It could be something that you've been very passionate about. And you've done a lot of research and a lot of work on something and looked into something. Don't feel always that, you know what, geez, if people would just search online, the answers are already there. Because more than likely you did that, and it probably took you dozens, if not hundreds of hours to find that solution. I mean, I'll give you a personal story. Back, gosh, about 15 plus years ago, I started suffering from vertigo really bad. And probably it was just too much time on the computer. So I just did massive research online, kind of culled everything that was out there, tried a lot of things. I was a bit of the guinea pig. And it took me probably a good 6 months to really get this under control to the point that it was manageable to the point really that I had solved it. And this includes both on myself as well as seeking professional help. And I, same thing, I said, you know, there's got to be, and I knew that there were a lot of people who suffer from the same thing, given all the resources that were out there online at the time. So what did I do? I just basically came up with an ebook, you know, Conquer Vertigo, developed, you know, the ebook, the website, again, solved a problem, a real pain point for people. And yes, everything that was in my ebook was theoretically out there, but I took the time to put it all together. I took the time to aggregate everything. I actually tried most of the solutions in there. I gave my personal experiences, the things that did work, the things that did not work. So that's an example of sort of finding a problem out there and something that you can solve. And it doesn't really matter that maybe it's out there across 100 different YouTube videos if somebody would put it all together. Don't ever let that stop you from providing this type of advice. People love information. They also love for you to save them a lot of time and a lot of research and a lot of effort. So if you're good at that in particular, bringing things together, you absolutely have the knowledge base already to come together with some type of product. So to me, that's really important. Identify what that's going to be. Come up with something that you can provide part of the solution. That becomes your giveaway. You don't want to have the entire solution, right? But you want part of the solution in this free giveaway. You know, once you have that, then you do need to start to build an audience, because, you know, just because you have this solution, you have identified this problem, you still have to have eyeballs on something, whether that's your website, your YouTube channel, your Facebook following. So I would immediately start to try to build my audience, probably really on YouTube first, and then maybe something like Facebook at the same time concurrently. I find the value of people as far as to monetize is going to be better from YouTube than Facebook. That may just be the niche that I'm in. I can tell you the same thing on lead generation. My leads are much more valuable coming in from YouTube than Facebook, but I'm sure there are other niches that probably could be flipped. So it, just because it works for me that way doesn't mean it's going to work for all of you that way, but you have to start to build that audience. And you don't want to come into this with the get rich quick mentality, because it's not going to happen on day one. You need to give it a little bit of time, because you need to build up some emails. You need to build up those push notifications. You need to build up, right, your YouTube audience or your Facebook audience. If you want to go ahead and spend a little bit of money, you certainly, you know, John's got some great courses on how you can go ahead and use things like Udemy and other things that are out there to start to pay a little bit of money to bring in some traffic to your website or emails or opt-in. So there definitely are ways that you can light a little bit of fire underneath this, but that's kind of what you need to do right from, you know, right from the beginning. Even if you don't have your paid solution done yet, and you're still working on it and you're still developing it, start to build the audience right away, because that will take a little bit of time. All right. And there are definitely ways that you can do this, like we're mentioning, that are zero cost or very, very minimal cost, and then start to work on what is your paid solution going to be. Look, I do a lot in information publishing, so you've got some great choices there, right? You can certainly deliver a course, you can deliver videos, you can deliver just a downloadable ebook, you can just hold a live webinar where you just provide the solution in a, you know, live 1 or 2 hours online. Maybe it's consulting, maybe it's one-on-one. You know, there's a variety of different things that you can provide in information that provides that solution. And there's some amazing platforms out there that make this super easy for all of us to deliver this to our customers. So that's the sort of the top level steps that I would take. Of course, you know, there's more details. You have to set up a website. Are you going to use WordPress? I mean, yes, nobody's saying that this is, you know, something you can do in 48 hours, you're going to have a going concern and a great business. However, you compare it to almost any other business out there, any other physical business, any other franchise, as far as the time and effort involved and the low cost, I don't think there's anything better than info publishing and this type of business that's out there. I haven't found it yet. I keep looking, but I still haven't found it. So that would be sort of my advice on that.
Yeah, that's right. And really step number one, if we peel back all the layers and we really do an x-ray and everything that you just explained, it comes down to the hungry audience, really the hungry buyers. These folks will have money. If you go after the right folks, they're hungry. They need something. They have a problem and they need something. And if you are able to do two things, one or the other or both, collapse time for them, time, and then collapse effort. And if you can collapse time and effort, that is the solution looking for. So you don't necessarily need to reinvent the wheel. You don't necessarily need to create something out of thin air. You can bring together a great a great product, really free, and a great product paid simply by collapsing time and collapsing the effort by aggregating, bringing together, curating a solution for an hungry audience. And in fact, the interesting thing about this, Mark, is that if you think about the lead capture and you think about the email list and push button traffic with email, is that we're looking at other humans who have problems and or they desire something, and you know how to deliver that value. And if you start with the value that you can provide into that market, everything starts to fall in place for the list building, but also for the delivery of the product. And as we talked about earlier, the ascension model from free to low cost to higher cost to even higher cost, or really for you, that means higher and higher profits as we go. So, wow, really powerful there. So let's wrap up with a final question here. Is there anything that we didn't cover that we should have? Is there a question that I really should have asked to get at the heart of growing an email list, email marketing? Is there something that I missed that is like, wow, John, I can't believe you didn't ask this, or this is something that we really have to cover? Otherwise, if you feel really good about this, maybe we can summarize some of the key points. Either is fine with me.
Sure. No, I think we actually covered a whole bunch of information that I would have loved to have known when I started out of the gate. It certainly would have saved me a lot of time. And I hope that's what we've done here today. And I think John mentioned something that's very important, right? When you're providing your product, think about it, you're trying to save them time, make something simpler. I would also give you the same advice on starting, you know, the company or the solution that you're going to be, you know, getting out there into the world. Don't overcomplicate it in the beginning. You don't feel that you have to build, you know, the best funnel that, you know, mankind has ever seen. It does not have to be that sophisticated. When we were talking about, you know, the tagging and the segmentation, yes, eventually you're going to want to do that in order to run your business in the best possible way. But in the beginning, it doesn't have to be complicated like that at all. Keep things very, very simple. You know, keep things to where you have a giveaway and you have a single product to sell. I totally think, yes, you should have upsells eventually. You should have additional products that you want to offer. But if you try to do all of that out of the gate in the beginning, you're going to get overwhelmed, and more than likely, you're unfortunately going to give up. And that's not what we want to do, because there is this ramp up. There is this 3 to 6 month period that it does take to really build this type of business and get some momentum going. So what you don't want to do is kind of overwhelm yourself. You hit a few roadblocks because it's too complicated, technically too complicated, and you never really follow through. And then the shiny object syndrome, right? You bounce around to the next, you know, great online business opportunity. There's no reason. You don't need to bounce around. This actually works. And this has worked for thousands of people. I know many, many people doing the exact same thing that we're talking about and been very successful, including people way more successful than I've been. So, you know, we're one example. Yeah, I'm proud of how we've done and how long we've sustained it, but we're not the best. I mean, there's people who are way above and beyond what we do, but that just goes to show you whatever you're looking for, whether it's a part-time or replacement income, full-time, it's out there and it's definitely there to take, but don't feel like you need to overcomplicate what you're doing. So that would be my best advice. There are a lot of tools that are out there. You know, one website that I might just mention, because I think it's a great way to save money, is AppSumo, which is AppSumo.com. And by the way, I don't have any relationship with any of these people. But this is a way to get some of the tools that we've even mentioned here today are very similar tools for, you know, probably 10% of what they normally would cost you. If it's something that's normally $1,000, you may get it for $30 or $40. The problem, of course, at the same time is you could get shiny object syndrome. You could see all kinds of amazing solutions that you don't really need today. But, you know, use those carefully, these resources, but just start with something. Most of the software that we mentioned here today have free trials. You know, we'll let you use their programs up to a certain point for free. So, you know, the amount of dollars that you need to put into this can be minimal to zero if you really want to bootstrap. I bootstrapped. I didn't start with any capital at all. It took maybe a little bit longer. But it's absolutely very doable. But that's my bottom line, you know, really point here. Keep it really simple on your business. The second reason is just in case you need to adapt or change and things aren't working quite how you imagine they would. Sometimes that happens. It's much easier to change and kind of redo some things kind of you've kept that initial structure very simple. Plus, you'll also know what's not working at the same time. So really, John, for me, that's just, you know, really the final point I wanted to make.
Well, what a great summary. And one of the things that it reminds me of in terms of the core of the business, sure, it might take 3 to 6 months, but once you have that email list and really the customer list, you could in theory, everything could go and burn down completely, right? You could lose your website, you could lose, you know, what's on YouTube, on Facebook, you could even lose all your money. But if you have that email list, you can with a single email kickstart everything again with one email, bringing in hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars, all because of your email list. It's really the central, it's the core of practically every successful online business that I know. And Mark, you've shown that to me. You've proven that to me as well. Sure, we've talked about how to bring people in more effectively, how to, you know, in fact, attract them and build a relationship with them over time, how to go from free to paid. We talked about a lot here. We really went into a lot of different tools that are available to people, but it comes down to actually having that list and utilizing that list. It is the best part of an online business, in my opinion. Yep. It allows you to flexibility to go anywhere. Mark, recently you traveled and you were able to travel without any hassle, any problem, in large part because of that email list, which is obviously a mix of free people that have come on, but also your customers as well. It is a beautiful thing having an email list and being able to communicate, provide value, and of course, sell stuff directly and make a profit. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah, there's no greater asset in our business than the email list. If you know, we're talking push button profits, that's it. I mean, we always call it with our list, we call it the $1 million list, because we know if we come out with something brand new, a quality product, that's what it's going to lead to. It doesn't need to be that in the beginning for people. Call it your $100 list or your $1,000 list, eventually your $10,000 list. It will truly become that if you nurture it, you care for it, right? You protect it with everything. It's amazing, the asset. And you're right, I can travel anywhere in the world. I can send out an email or two. I can easily pay for the trip, no question. And there's no reason that everybody can't be in that same position if you just kind of approach it from that side and just realize that's where the gold is. That list is the gold.
Yeah, awesome. Well, Mark, thank you so much for your time. This has been one of the best interviews I've ever done. And I've done hundreds of these. The value is tremendous. I'm going to go back and I'm going to be listening to this again. I'm going to be taking notes. I'm really, really excited about this for folks who don't know too much about email and email marketing and email list building, email traffic, but also those folks who have been around the block, right? It's not their first rodeo. I'm really excited for what you've provided, because this helps, this works at any level of experience and business knowledge that you have. So just great stuff. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you. Appreciate your time, and look forward, like I said, to go back and take notes and relive this experience again. It's so powerful and so wonderful. So thank you again, Mark.
Thanks, John. It's been great. I've really enjoyed sharing it with everybody. And best of success to everyone. And just put it into action. Take action. That's the key. You got to take that first step. But if you do that, I think you're going to be well rewarded over time. So yeah, it's been great. Thanks, John.
Yeah, that's right. Take action. Thanks, everyone. John S. Rhodes signing off.